Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. I'll tell you what, it's been a good long week, but I wanted to wait until the chips were down, till all the chips were down, 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 down. I'm pretty wiped out from my weekend, to be honest with you. Don't judge my singing voice on that last lick I just pulled out. But yeah, just interesting. I've been working really hard on my new album and singing and banging on my guitar and doing all my thing for a full week and, you know, a variety of other things, like, for instance, basketball games going on all over the place. And, you know, I mean, we got this bracket. And first thing I'd like to say is NCAA is just absolutely right now, if it sinks any lower than it is right now, we've got to look at NCAA basketball as being getting into the territory of boxing as a sport that has lost credibility in the way that it's managed. Closing in on boxing, not quite in the area of professional wrestling. Although the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals might give it a run for its money. But let me just tell you, the way that the NCAA committee is set up, the way that this hokey-dokey NCAA committee on corruption to do with in reaction to the FBI investigation is set up, the Pac-12's committee and the way that that's set up, the whole thing is just a huge circus. Let's just talk about, for instance, the NCAA selection committee for this tournament. Picking USC and taking them out of the field when they come in second in the Pac-12. Not only that, make it to the final game against Arizona, and they do not get in to the NCAA tournament. That is just an absolute, complete, you know, it's just completely insane. It's insane. And then you look at Arizona State, who anybody that knows anything about basketball, having watched them over the course of the Pac-12, know that they peak out early. Okay, so if you're a guy who's training horses for the Kentucky Derby and your horse peaks out early and is just on a big losing streak, do you send that horse to the Kentucky Derby? No. You pick the horses that are the best horses. And USC is a good horse. And I mean, they had that loss to Washington at home. I agree, that's kind of questionable. But Washington had some good wins. They fooled a lot of people that were asleep at the wheel with that zone this year. They're going to have to do an awful lot to improve upon that and you know, turn their defensive approach into a much more versatile approach for next year if they're going to be successful. And I think they still have some missing that'll going to prevent them from really, you know, becoming a real major conference title contender. But they'll be improved to get everybody back. And hopefully they'll address this. Mike Hopkins has done a good job, being if he's still around, which hopefully he will be, and all these guys stick together for their senior years and such, and they go out there and they get some players, which they're going to need to do. They're going to definitely need to do in the spring. You know, this Husky team could possibly be a team that you know, moves up once again in the Pac-12. I don't know about moving up to a NCAA tournament bid, but, you know, we'll see. They're hard to come by in the Pac-12, as we're finding out right now, for all the jerks and Jills or whatever you want to call them out there, who think that, you know, Romar is such a loser for not making the NCAA tournament 3 out of 6 years, but only making the NIT 3 out of 6 years, and then having a Pac-12 outright championship being one of those years, and a variety of other things like the school's first round draft pick, first choice in the NBA draft, and the best recruiting class in school history, including 2 lottery picks. Now Jonte Porter and Michael Porter really are lottery picks, one of which has to play 2 years. You know, those kinds of things, as time goes on, people will marvel at the lack of lack of understanding of the game and what it takes that he was fired. But right now there's a large number of people that just think, hey, that's great. Mike Hopkins came in here, took a team that completely came back from a bad 9-23 year last year, and turned them into a 20-win team. So everyone's very happy and everything's good. But when you look at what they had, in fact, with their class, then obviously that's, to me, that becomes really obvious that this improvement would have been better. And overall, the program would be better, in better shape for 2018 class, for the 2018-19 season, for just a lot of things with Romar and what he would have been able to do and what he would likely would have done with the staff and et cetera. But all that being said, here we are. USC does not get in the tournament. The second best team in the Pac-12 that made the championship game in the conference tournament, and they do not get in to the NCAA tournament. But Arizona State does, a team that peaked out in the in November and December. It just makes you, it, for me, it makes it much more interesting to watch Pac-12 basketball and look at it as being the end all of college basketball, just the Pac-12, and for that matter, the Big Sky and the WCC and the and the WAC and the Mountain West. These conferences are what's interesting. Watching the conference play, watching them perform in the non-conference season, and then watching these conference tournaments. That's what's interesting. The NCAA tournament is just a bunch of Q-rap, absolute crap. I mean, when you take a USC team out and put in an Arizona State team in, that is just some kind of idiotic, brainless idiocy that would do something like this. And it's the same kind of brainless idiocy that Jen Cohen, the AD of UW, demonstrates to me clearly with what she did with UW when firing Romar, with bringing in all that talent. Not only two lottery picks, but at least two future first round draft picks in that class, and probably would have gotten better. And I got news for everybody. If coaching, if the idea that Mike Hopkins is a better coach than Lorenzo Romar, even though Lorenzo's been a head coach for 20 years, or so, if more than that, if Mike Hopkins is that genius that is everybody's swinging with, then what you need in the NBA is you need a coaching draft in June, not a players draft, because players don't matter. The coach is what matters. So I'm beside myself. And if talent didn't matter, and NCAA told me over and over, like, oh, Jerry McNamara is a better recruit than Michael Porter Jr., these kind of things. If that was the truth, then why would there be this huge and expanding industry, under the table, improper, immoral, and everything else bad industry to secure talent for these college basketball teams? If talent doesn't matter. And the other thing about Michael and Jonte Porter, they're both big men, which is even doubly hard to find at Washington, is talented big men, let alone talented guards and wings, which they've had success finding, and little success finding talented big men. Only basically John Brockman and Spencer Hawes, and that's it. So, Robert Upshaw. But, so basically they've had good ones, but as far as like big-time talent, like Michael Porter Jr., well, Marquise Chris, there you go. There's another third one. Spencer Hawes, Marquise Chris, and John Brockman. And that's all. But if you're talking about big-time talent, they did that in 2017. They got not only one, not only two, but realistically probably would have ended up with three, because Mamadou Diarra or someone else they might have gotten in the spring might have ended up being a big-time, big-man talent too. That were they were on that kind of role recruiting-wise. And Missouri was able to get Jeremiah Tillman, who's a very good big man freshman big man. I'd say maybe not on par with Spencer Hawes and Marquise Crisp, but definitely probably more productive this year as a freshman than just about anybody else other than those big three I mentioned, Brockman, Hawes, and Chris. And even Hawes and Chris had, freshman years that certainly included a lot of mistakes. So, and Tillman, of course, and his Missouri Tigers are in the NCAA tournament. And he was a starter almost all year. So, I just think that it was just absolutely nuts. And I think that the NCAA committee is maybe not quite as nuts as Jen Cohen, but really nuts. I mean, this USC thing, not getting in. Okay, that's one thing. Okay. Let's just look through the brackets and let's talk about it. Okay, starting at the very top, you got Virginia probably advancing. Have a low major opponent at number one seed. Creighton and Kansas State. That's kind of anybody's guess. It's an 8-9 game. I think it could go either way. Creighton, had a not the best season this year, so. Yeah, Kansas State had a pretty good season. Basically, a very similar team. Kansas State plays in a better tournament, better conference. So that's kind of a wash. We'll see what happens. So I'm not going to break down every single game and all that hoo-ha like these clowns on TV. But Kentucky, Davidson, I think we know the answer to that one there. Arizona, Buffalo. Again, Buffalo got a good team. They might throw Arizona a little problem, but DeAndre Ayton, Lonzo Trier, Raleigh Atkins, Alkins. I think it's good night, Buffalo. So they got Arizona and Kentucky in that second round matchup. That's going to be an interesting game. A lot of people think Arizona will get knocked out. I think Kentucky and Arizona are similar kind of teams. I think two coaches that know each other well, and both a very similar approach to basketball. Neither are great basketball coaches, to be honest with you, but they're both really, really good cheaters, and they have got really great systems at getting talent. And they've put together some good staffs with good quality coaches. And John Calipari jokes that his players don't even know what state Boise is in. That's pretty insulting. And bottom line is I learned all the capitals of all the states in elementary school. Most people have to learn them at least in high school to get a high school diploma. So that's pretty insulting. But then again, that's John Calipari. He doesn't care about school. He doesn't care about anything like that. So there's the walking, talking hypocrisy of college basketball right there. It's nothing to do with education. It's all to do with money and big time entertainment. And Calipari's probably not that bad of a guy in person. In his real life, he's probably a decent guy. But I don't like what he represents. But he and Miller battling it out in that second round, that'll be an interesting second round matchup. I don't know why they have sticking those two teams in the second round, but I guess this is the idiocy of the NCAA tournament committee. So you're going to end up with the winner of that game probably against Virginia. We'll knock off either Creighton or Kansas State. Virginia just looked fantastic against UNC. And Tony Bennett, I mean, what can you say? Great coach. It's too bad he couldn't keep him at Wazoo, but it was great to have him while he was here. And he schooled everybody in the Pac-12 pretty seriously. And then he moved on to Virginia. And it's a good coach, good school. And a team without too many really big-time NBA prospects, but they got a great system. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what Arizona and Kentucky, one of those two teams with all their firepower and NBA draft picks, are going against a team like Virginia where, arguably doesn't have the same kind of production offensively. And so if Virginia gets down, they have to produce points. It's the problems, but Virginia's going to play some defense, though, and I think that Arizona, as we saw against Washington, which is certainly not a top four seed in this year's tournament, can rattle Arizona and make them miss a lot of shots and kind of have a sort of a disheveled approach to the game. And I think the same thing can be said to Kentucky, who that's happened to quite a bit this season and in past years because they're so dependent on young and one and done, young, dumb, and full of, well, no, one and done players. You know, we'll see what they can do. It'll be interesting. John Calipari, you know, Sean Miller, and that, and then of course Tony Bennett. So we'll see what comes out of there. You know, it's hard to say. It's going to be fun to watch. Going to the next side of that South bracket, you got Miami, Florida, Loyola of Chicago. You know, it's going to be, that's kind of a tough one. But Miami, Florida, Jim Larrañaga, yeah. I kind of would think he'd probably be able to, you know, to do it. Tennessee really ended strong. They got Wright State. I think they win that one and face Miami in the second round. Then the next part of that bracket, you got Nevada and Texas. You know, that's going to be a tough one. I think Nevada just kind of had a little bit of trouble there at the end of the year, losing that Mountain West tournament to San Diego State. Not that San Diego's just not a good team. They got Jalen McDaniels from Federal Way, and they've got a lot of good talent, and they're really getting a bad rap in the national media. Oh, there's another Cinderella that's going to be one and done. You know, I don't know about that, but I think that Nevada is a strong team, and Texas is a team that's kind of struggled this year and kind of lucky to be in the tournament, 19-14, and I think they even have some injury problems. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Nevada put them away. Then you got Cincinnati and Georgia State. I think that's a given. Cincinnati with Mamadou Diarra, unfortunately, not playing a huge role. You know, I heard he was going to have a good shot at doing that. But he started out the year playing some pretty good minutes. But he's on the bench for whatever reason. I haven't really been able to figure out why totally. But he's the main reason is two senior big men and another veteran, third big. And, you know, that's the rotation when you want to win games. You get tight rotations. So got Cincinnati going to beat probably the winner of the Nevada-Texas game. And like I said, Tennessee and Miami being a pretty good battle. Hard to say on that, but I'd have to go with Tennessee probably, realistically. They're really looking good coming down the stretch. Do we got a caller here? No. We don't got a caller. I guess not. Well, yeah, I got somebody that's calling in, hoping they'll call into the show, but nonetheless, that's what's going on. Caller, if you're to call into the show, I want to have somebody to help me out with this thing. But you know, to make a long story short, I'll text this caller and tell him to come call in. Oh boy, wrong. While I'm doing that. You know, here he is. Oh, yes. Now we got the caller. Here we go. Beautiful. Just beautiful. It's beautiful. You're just in time. You're just in time. I figured you probably fell asleep.
Apologies for the – I was over there with your guy, Rick Kasner, over at that pro club.
Oh, I see. I got sidetracked having a little conversation with Rick Kasner. Well, we're going to talk all about that Romar and Bone to Pepperdine discussion that's out there. I was just kind of going through the brackets of the NCAA brackets first. We got a lot to talk about here. I just rifled through it so far. Virginia, I think, is going to get out of the first and second round into the Sweet 16. Kentucky and Arizona are going to probably meet in the second round, and it's hard for me to pick between those two. I don't have an opinion yet, but one of those two teams is going to meet Virginia, and that's going to be an interesting game. I don't know if Arizona really has what it takes to get by Virginia, but that's what I'm not sure. We'll confer on that. Well, I mean, we should start there. What do you think about that first part of the South bracket?
Well, that's an interesting bracket. I mean, you know, Kentucky – I wasn't too impressed with Kentucky this year, but they've come on late. Typical of young Kentucky type teams, but I think Arizona's going to take them out there in the second round.
Okay. I'll go with that.
I think Arizona, Virginia is going to be a real tough, hard fought battle, but I think Arizona's going to get the win.
Well, that's great. And it'll be happening wherever it happens. So that's you're looking at Arizona, Virginia, and Virginia moving, or Arizona moving on to the Elite Eight. How about this next set of games? How about Miami, Florida, Lowell, Chicago? I think Miami, Florida takes that. Tennessee, Wright State, I think Tennessee takes that. Nevada, Texas. I'm going Nevada against Texas. And Cincinnati, Georgia State, I'm going Cincinnati. Second round, I'm going Cincinnati over Nevada, and I'm going Tennessee over Miami, Florida. What do you think about that as part of the South bracket?
I like Miami to advance there against Cincy.
Against, you think that you actually see them in the Elite Eight passing up Cincy?
No, I think Cincy, but I think Miami's going to beat Tennessee in the Sweet 16.
Meet Cincy. Okay, cool. So that's good. So we're there. That's what we're going to discuss. Thanks for your expertise, by the way. And then we move to the West bracket. You got Xavier, a Xavier team that lost to Arizona State early, playing the winner of North Carolina Central and Texas Southern. I think they probably win that. I'm not even going to handicap that play-in game. Xavier probably gets past them. Missouri with Jonte Porter and Michael Porter playing Florida State in the 8-9 game to start the tournament. That's a really interesting first-round game.
Your boy, Brian Angola.
You're going to go with Brian Angola over Missouri?
No, but I'm going to go with Missouri in that one. Well, you know what? Actually, what's going on with that player that got the DUI?
The player that got the DUI has been arrested, and I'm not sure what's going to happen to him. He was an important part of their team, to be honest with you. I mean, if you want to look at what that really means in black and white, I think he
averaged 13 a game. But
yeah,
what
he was. I can't remember right offhand, but I can tell you right now, because I'm looking at their roster. It's Jordan Barnett. He's their second leading scorer. He averaged 14 a game, 6 rebounds. And such as that. But keep in mind that Jordan Barnett is a 6'7", 215-pound wing. So what position does Michael Porter play?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Keep that in mind. So if Michael Porter feels a little bit better than he did the other night, could be game over, because we know what Michael Porter can do when he gets a little heft behind him. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Jonte Porter, you know, he's obviously
picked it up. I think Jonte and Michael could put on a run here.
It's hard to say what they can do. Michael's played in 2 games. He's averaging 7 points, 5 rebounds. Not great from the floor, but we both know what he can do. Boy, can he ever get it done. So, yeah, I think that's going to be kind of interesting, to say the least. That's going to be one interesting game. Florida, I don't know how they got that game in the first round, but that's going to be something. And then in the rest of that side of the West bracket, you got Ohio State, South Dakota State with T.J. Otzelberger down there working those recruiting deals to the bone down there in South Dakota State with Ohio State. And then you got Big Mark Few, he of the Rat Teeth Express out there, and UNCG, whoever the heck that is, it's some North Carolina, Greensboro or something. They're going to beat them. They're going to be facing the winner of Ohio State and South Dakota State, probably Ohio State. And so that's going to be your second-round matchups. What do you think about that? Xavier, I think, gets out of there. Let's just say Missouri gets out of there. Who do you like between Xavier and Missouri?
Jeez, man. Xavier and Missouri. You know, I like Missouri.
I really love to see Missouri with Michael Porter put on a show and get into Sweet 16, get to the second weekend. So I'm going to be rooting for Missouri really hard with Michael and Jonte Porter. Xavier's a 28-5 team, and they play in a tough league. That's going to be tough. I mean, it's just, I don't have an opinion on that. I don't claim to be an expert to be able to handicap that game. It's going to be a tough one. But I don't think it's a given that Xavier's going to win. I think Michael Porter's a pretty big kicker right there. And then, so we'll see there. And then how about Ohio State Gonzaga in the second round?
You know, Ohio State Gonzaga, I like Ohio State to advance that.
I do too. I think Gonzaga is a pretender this year. I've thought that since the beginning, and I could be wrong. But I just, after watching that St. Mary's game over there at home at Gonzaga, I just said, you know, these guys have had a great year teams over the years, and this isn't one of them.
I think that's going to be a good game. I would not be surprised if Gonzaga won that game, though.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. They have a lot of talent. Because
I'm not
sold on
Ohio State. I watched Ohio State earlier in the year, and I was shocked that they were even, you know, doing well.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because, you know, that Big 12, that Big 10 is a real tough league, and they got it together for conference play, and that's why they're in there. But I think also the Big 10 gets more teams in than they should, and I already talked about USC. In fact, I pretty much just vented and cussed for the first 10 minutes of the show about how much I hate the NCAA, about what happened to USC. I mean, you know, I'm no love lost over USC and Andy Engfield and the kind of stuff, their hijinks they're up to down there. But the bottom line is, just on their actual team and what they've been able to do this year, being the second best team in the conference, going to the conference tournament final, and pretty much staying with Arizona, you know, for most of that game, or at least half of it. I mean, it's just not fair the way they were treated by the NCAA committee. I mean, just look at this junk. It's junk out there. And then ASU gets in. My God, it's just to be honest with you, Tyrone, I think that it's basketball, college basketball, is in such a need of reform that it's becoming close to boxing. It's like I saw boxing go straight downhill in the course of my life. And college basketball, just in this last 20 years, has just started to go straight downhill. And that's a perfect example of it there. Just no credibility in that NCAA committee. So you think in Gonzaga or Ohio State, you're having a hard time guessing in that. And then same with Xavier and Missouri. So it's just about anybody's shot to get to that Elite Eight out of that bracket. How about on the other side of the West bracket? Houston, San Diego State. I was saying San Diego State won that Mountain West tournament. I think they're for real. I think Jalen McDaniels and that team, yeah. Trey Kell, Jeremiah Hemsley, I think that's a team that's way underrated and not gotten any love from the national media. I would be surprised to see him beat the Houston Cougars. What do you think about that game?
You know, and that I think that's going to be is that a first-round game?
Yeah, it's a first-round game in Wichita.
Houston's tough, too. I think Calvin Sampson's done a real nice job there. I'm gonna have to go with
Houston.
With Houston in that one.
I'm feeling funny. I'm feeling strange. I know he's really cleaned the house as far as getting the ball players in there and getting the team, getting the program going in a good direction. But, you know, San Diego State, I think they're kind of peaking right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about it either. But I'm a sentimental San Diego State homer because of Jalen McDaniels.
Well, that's a guy that UW sure could use, man. Good Lord.
Boy, no kidding. No kidding. Double-double machine. And then you move to Michigan and Montana. Of course, I'll be rooting for Travis Secure, Ahmad Rory, Michael Gwynn, and the Montana Grizzlies. But what about, you know, John Boeheling and his Beeline Express over there in Michigan? Do you think they can knock off Montana?
Yes.
Okay. So Michigan beats Montana. You're taking Houston over San Diego State. I'm taking San Diego State, but just sentimentally, and I'm going to be rooting for Montana, but I have a good feeling they're not going to be able to beat Michigan. It's going to be tough. Texas A&M, Providence. Now, Providence, who UW got spanked by, and Texas A&M, who kind of started the season off really horribly and then kind of pulled it together. What do you think about that game?
Oof, man, I'm liking Providence right now.
Yeah, me too. They really got it. They got some tough kids. So that team looks like they're all 25 years old. And then North Carolina and Lipscomb are older. North Carolina and Lipscomb, obviously North Carolina's going to spank them, and they're going to meet the winner of Providence and Texas A&M, and I think they're probably going to beat the winner of that game. So they probably North Carolina against, I guess, either Houston or Michigan. We'll have to see what happens there. Who would you pick between Houston and Michigan?
I like Michigan.
Cool, cool. So you figure
I
Michigan
really like
and North Carolina. That's a nice Sweet 16 matchup, Michigan and North Carolina. Well, let's move over to the other bracket. We got plenty of time, but let's move to the other bracket. We got the East bracket, Villanova and Jay Sean Augusto of Garfield High School and his LIU Brooklyn Blackbirds against Radford in the playing game. So they're going to, the winner of that game is going to play Villanova. Any chance we'll be seeing Jay Sean Augusto in the second round, do you think?
No.
After Villanova? Okay. So
yeah.
Villanova wins that game with two first-team All-Americans. Then Virginia Tech and Alabama will be the team that they'll face, one of those two. Well, that's tough. It's two really scrappy teams with some really, really good players. I mean, that's a tough 8-9 matchup right there, Virginia Tech and Alabama. Colin Sexton, Buzz Williams. That's tough.
In that one, I like Buzz.
Yeah, you know, Virginia Tech, that's a good bet. It's hard. They got a better team overall, but Colin Sexton, I mean, he beat a team 1-on-5. So it's hard to know what he can do. And then West Virginia and Murray State. I think West Virginia's going to win, even though Murray State has had a really a good year. I just don't think they're playing the same level of competition as West Virginia, and I think West Virginia's going to beat them. Wichita State and Marshall, that's a tough one. Marshall, that's an upset special. What do you think about those two matchups, West Virginia and Murray State first?
Virginia. And I like Wichita State over Marshall, and then I like West Virginia over
Greg Marshall and Wichita State. Okay,
yeah.
That sounds good. So we got West Virginia moving into the Elite Eight, into the Sweet 16 against probably Villanova. You're thinking, you think that Vatek has a chance against Villanova?
Vatek, Nova, I like Vatek.
You like Vatek to beat number one seed Villanova. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. Vatek plays tough, rough and tumble defense, and Villanova is really dependent on three-point shooting.
Vatek can shoot threes, man.
And Vatek can shoot threes.
They blew out UW by 30.
I wouldn't be surprised. Vatek is a really tough team, and Buzz Williams is a really good coach. I know that Jay Wright in Villanova is old school, kind of, you know, suede shoe East Coast. But I think honestly, I think that's going to be a really cool matchup. Let's move to the other side of that East bracket. You got Florida and the winner of St. Bonaventure and UCLA. Now, the Bonnies have had a really good year. It's been a big year. The Bruins have really underperformed in some key moments this year, but they certainly have the talent to put this together. I think I'm picking UCLA on that one. And going up against Florida, that'd be a classic matchup. Florida and UCLA reminds me of those games with back in the early 2000s with those teams with Joe Kim Noah and other assorted UCLA guys.
I like the Gators to roll that.
What say?
Gator Nation's going to beat UCLA, though.
I think the Gator Nation featuring Ryan Appleby. And then,
well, why don't we call him Ryan Appleby? So
Ryan Appleby. Tough guy. Making that fortified apple wine for those kids to go drink behind the backstop and get drunk. Okay, so and then Texas Tech and SF Austin. I don't know. I think Texas Tech is going to win that game. I'm surprised. And then Arkansas Butler is interesting. Butler's not been that good this year. Arkansas is, they're good. They're pretty good. You know, Mike Anderson. What do you think about that Arkansas-Butler game? That's your call.
Arkansas-Butler, I'm going with Arkansas.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so Arkansas, how about Purdue-Cal State-Fullerton? I'm going Purdue. So Arkansas-Purdue, who do you like?
I like Arkansas.
You're taking Arkansas over Purdue. Okay, and you're taking Florida Gators, Gator Nation, over Texas Tech, or what do you think?
Florida Gators over Texas Tech, yeah.
So you're going to have Purdue, you're going to have Arkansas and Florida, two SEC teams in the Sweet 16 game. That's going to be interesting. What do you think about that matchup, out of curiosity?
Gator Nation, man.
You're going Gator Nation.
I'm thinking Gators for the Final Four. They were one of my upset Final Four. I just shocked that they.
I can't hear you very well. You're out in the somewhere in the hall right now. You better play some ball or get in the hole. Can't make something out of nothing at all. Just get over here and I can hear you a little bit better. Can you get out of the hall?
I think Gator Nation's my pick.
Gator Nation to the Elite Eight. And then the next bracket we've got in the Midwest, Kansas and those Penn Quakers. I'm taking Kansas. Seton Hall and those North Carolina State Wolfpack of Blake Harris will be sitting on the bench cheering them on. I'm taking North Carolina State over the Hall. What do you think?
I'm taking Seton Hall and I'm taking Kansas.
You're taking the Hall. Okay, cool. Okay, and then I said that was just a sentimental pick, but who knows? I might be right. And then Clemson against New Mexico State of the WAC, who Seattle U beat in Key Arena in one of the greatest games, probably the greatest game in the city of Seattle this year, other than the Arizona-Washington game. But on par with that, because at least that had some bearing on both teams being able to win the conference. Huskies had no chance. But Clemson, or Seton Hall and North Carolina State, Kansas, Clemson, and New Mexico State. What do you think? I go Clemson.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Let's move to the next one. Auburn.
I'm gonna go Clemson.
Clemson too. Yeah, I think so too. I think that they're both good teams, but I think that Clemson has just played a much better schedule and have much higher level competition and performed. New Mexico State is, you know, I agree. They got some really good players. I wish they'd moved to the Mountain West along with Gonzaga and BYU, and so that WAC conference and the WCC would be kind of even leagues where everybody's games matter except for the stupid leader of the pack every year. So going beyond that.
I just think it's just, you know, it's just the way
it's boring to watch them play horrible teams every single night.
Talk
about how it's so important, or Fox or whatever, talk about how these games with these WCC teams are so important when they're just not. It's like, you know, it's like the Huskies, when people cry and moan about the Huskies having these horrible non-conference schedules where they're playing nobody. That's their conference schedule.
This is a killer show because we haven't even talked about the NIT bracket.
We're going to get there. We're almost to the Midwest bracket. We're almost there. Plus, I don't mind going over on this show either.
We got
Florida's over UCLA, Texas Tech over Austin, Arkansas over Butler, Purdue over Fullerton. Then we go down to the Midwest bracket, Kansas over Penn, Seton Hall over NC State, you think? Clemson over New Mexico State. How about Auburn and Charleston? I'm picking Auburn. Auburn for sure. So you get Auburn and Clemson. Who do you like in Auburn and Clemson for that second round game? You're going to go Auburn. Okay. Well, they're the higher seed. Auburn takes Clemson out in a 4-5 game. And then Kansas and Seton Hall. Who do you want? Who do you think?
Kansas and Seton Hall.
Yeah, who are you going for on that? Kansas, KU?
You know, I'm going to go with Seton Hall on that one.
That's big time. Yeah, you really got the stones to step up on that. Seton Hall in the second round game over Kansas, and who? How about Seton Hall versus Auburn in the Sweet 16 game? Who do you like?
Auburn.
Okay, so Auburn to the Elite Eight. Then you got in the last half of the last bracket we're going to discuss in the NCAA Jackass Tournament. Like a crap. I don't even care about it, but I'm going through this whole brick and roll anyway. TCU, okay, against either Arizona State or Syracuse. I mean, can you believe that Arizona State got in the tournament? Let's just start with that conversation. What do you think about Arizona State getting in the tournament?
I think it's funny.
I mean, USC doesn't get in. You know, Utah doesn't get in. Oregon doesn't get in. Stanford doesn't get in. Arizona State.
I don't understand how USC did again.
It's not. They're the second best team in the conference.
And Jerron Brooks commits to SC?
Jerron Brooks committed to SC, yeah. When was a long time ago.
No, it happened today.
Oh, he did commit to SC today. Okay. Well, yeah, that's what happened. So there you go. So he's going to SC. They're going to have a good team. But nonetheless, they have a good team this year, and they should have been in the tournament. That's just nuts. We're going to get an NIT bracket. We'll see how they do in the NIT. But Arizona State, no way should they be in the tournament. Utah's much better. God, Utah is so much better. Stanford's so much better than them. But anyway, Arizona State and Syracuse. Syracuse is another one that kind of wonder why they're in the tournament. But nonetheless, Syracuse, Arizona State, who do you think wins that one?
I got Syracuse.
Okay, Syracuse. Good bet. And then how about then the winner faces TCU and Jamie Dixon. What do you think about going with the Q is a serious orange all the way. So then the winner of that game, let's figure it's the Q with of that bracket. Let's say it's the Q's come out there with two wins and going to the second round. It will face either Michigan State or Bucknell. Do you think those Bucknell Bison have a chance? 14 seed against the three?
No.
Okay, so they're going to face – the Q's is going to face Michigan State. Now, that's a real blue blood second-round matchup, the Q's and Syracuse. I mean, the Q's and Michigan State, both programs highly suspect at this point in the midst of this FBI investigation and evidence that's emerging. But let's just go ahead and talk about the specifics on that matchup. You think Syracuse is going to beat Michigan State to move to the win the second round, move to the Sweet 16?
I do not.
Okay, so Michigan State will be in the Sweet 16. Now they're going to face either Rhode Island's going to play Oklahoma. Now that's really an interesting matchup because Oklahoma has probably no business being in this tournament, except for the fact that they got Trae Young. Okay, and he's going to be box office. He's box office, dude. I'm in show business. I know show business. I know why he's in this tournament.
He's got box office.
People are going to watch because it's Trae Young. But anyway, Rhode Island and Oklahoma, and Rhode Island Rams are a better team. I think they're going to beat them. What do you think? Okay. Duke and Iona, who do you think is going to win?
I like the Dukes.
Okay. So Duke's going to face the Rhode Island Rams. I think Duke will win, but Rhode Island's going to put up a fight. I think it's going to be under 10 points. What do you think?
I think it'll be a tough game. I think it'll be, I think it's going to be close the whole way with Duke pulling away at the end, but I like Duke.
Me too. I think that's a really good assessment. Okay, so it's going to be Duke going up against Michigan State probably in the Sweet 16 game. And who's going to be your Elite Eight guy out of that region, do you think? Duke or Michigan State? Dukey. Duke knocks off Tom Izzo. Everybody's going to get ready for the next installment of FBI indictments and they'll go home and just start getting ready with their lawyers. Okay, so we got that at the end of the NCAA. Let's look at that. Since it's already 9:45, I started the show at 9, so we can take it a little bit later anyway. I don't care. We got nothing to do here.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and give you your NIT bracket. First of all, Mike Bray and Notre Dame against Hampton in the first game. I think I'm picking Mike Bray, even though his team this year was kind of disappointing. I think they're going to beat those Hampton hamsters, whatever they are.
Where's that game?
So, on ESPN. Does anything else matter? I don't know.
No,
I really don't know. I don't know. It doesn't really say. It doesn't talk about locations. It talks about the Madison Square Garden. The higher seed gets the home game. So it'll be at Notre Dame. Yeah, at Notre Dame. That's right.
Notre Dame wouldn't.
Penn State Temple at Penn State. That's a tough one. What do you think?
Penn State.
Cool. That's a nice matchup, though. Oregon and Rider. Oregon and Rider at Eugene. At Eugene.
Oregon.
I'm taking Oregon, too. Unless Rider has J.R. Rider, then I'm taking Rider. And then Marquette and Harvard. Harvard, one of the more disappointing teams in college basketball this year, to be honest with you. I was real disappointed with them this year. I was rooting for them. Marquette and Harvard at Marquette. I'm taking Marquette to put Harvard out of their misery. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay. Then that's one that bracket. So it's going to be, let's just finish off that bracket. Who's going to win between Notre Dame and you pick Penn State because our home team, or are you going to pick the Temple?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to pick on the Penn State Temple? Okay. So Notre Dame, Penn State in the second round of the NIT. What do you think?
Who's the higher seed?
At Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame.
You're taking Notre Dame?
Taking Bonzi, yep.
Okay, got it. And then in that second bracket, Oregon against Marquette, at Marquette. Oregon's going to have to travel out to Wisconsin. What do you think? Oregon or Marquette?
I like Marquette.
So the Ducks freeze their you-know-whats in the cold ponds of Lake Huron or whatever. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then we get in that bracket.
You know what?
I
take that back. I'm taking the Ducks.
Yeah, you know something? They got a lot of talent. And, they've gone and won the CBI before with Altman. I don't know what they've ever done in the NIT. I think they did well in the NIT, too. Ducks could do well. So let's just figure that maybe they go out there and they beat Marquette out there in that cold pond, and then they face Notre Dame, number one Notre Dame, and who wins that game at Notre Dame?
I'm liking Notre Dame.
Okay, so they don't get to go to New York, but Notre Dame is going to head to New York City. Okay. Baylor, this is the next bracket. Baylor and Wagner. Number one, Baylor. I'm just going to tell you, Baylor's going to win it.
Nailed it.
Against Wagner. Okay, good. Mississippi State and your friend Ben Howland. He's probably eating a steak right now and drinking a martini. And then Nebraska. Mississippi State and Nebraska. Nebraska's had kind of a good season in, as far as Nebraska goes, but they unfortunately kind of choked at the end. What do you think about Mississippi State against Nebraska at Mississippi State at Hattiesburg?
I'm going with Mississippi State.
Going with the home team. So Baylor wins, Mississippi State wins. Further down the bracket, Middle Tennessee, Vermont. That's a tough one. And Middle Tennessee. But those Catamounts, okay, hard to bet against the Catamounts, though. And then Louisville against Northern Kentucky at Louisville. What do you think?
I'm going with Louisville.
Okay. But keep in mind, Louisville's really had a rough year. And they might just – a lot of these teams that are used to being in the tournament, when they go to the NIT, something goes between their legs and it ain't their wallet. And they kind of just sort of lose it. Northern Kentucky might be more excited to be there and beat them. So let's just say that could be interesting. And so Baylor and Mississippi State, you're taking – who's the winner of that game at Baylor?
I'm taking Mississippi State.
Over Baylor. Sticking with Ben. And then Middle Tennessee – you're taking Middle Tennessee State and you're taking Louisville. Who wins that game, Middle Tennessee and Louisville?
Middle Tennessee.
You're going to go Milton, even though it's at Louisville?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. And then finally on that bracket, who gets to go to New York, you're thinking it's either going to be Mississippi State or the Ville or Middle Tennessee State. It's going to either be Mississippi State or Middle Tennessee State. Who's going to win between those two?
I think Mississippi State.
Okay, so you've taken Mississippi State and you're taking Notre Dame right now to go to Madison Square Garden for the NIT Final Four. Let's move on to the other side of the bracket. This one over here, Southern California, probably not a happy group of guys right now.
Are they the one seed?
And Southern California is a one seed, yeah, and they're playing UNC Asheville at home down there at the Galen Center. I'm picking Southern Cal, but, God, that is such a prime situation for a team that's going to be depressed and down. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a scary game. You're going to go with SC?
No, Asheville.
You're going to go with Asheville on that one? Okay. Western Kentucky, that's a good bet, by the way. I would, if you could get any kind of numbers on that, I would take that. Western Kentucky, Boston College in the 4-5 game at Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
You're taking Western Kentucky? Yep. And that's a really a team with a lot of talent, truthfully. Stanford and BYU at Stanford.
Stanford.
I'm taking Stanford, man. They should have been in the NCAA tournament. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They're such a better team. They're better than over half those teams in the NCAA field. Probably three-quarters of them. Oklahoma State and Florida Gulf Coast. Bad Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
You know, Oklahoma State beat Kansas twice. How can they not be in the tournament, and Oklahoma is?
It's just absolutely, utterly ridiculous that Oklahoma State got left out.
It's just
that
nuts.
It's just nuts.
But you're taking Oklahoma State. So let's finish this bracket. Oklahoma State and Stanford, who's going to win that? At Oklahoma State. At Oklahoma. You're taking Stanford? I am too. I'm really I'm bullish on Stanford right now. I'm thinking they've got a real good shot. How about UNC Asheville versus Western Kentucky? Who do you pick there?
Western Kentucky.
Okay, so Western Kentucky, the Cheaters against the Choir Boys of Stanford. Who's going to win that game to get to New York?
Is that going to be at Western Kentucky or Stanford?
Stanford, at Stanford.
Stanford.
I'm taking Stanford. I agree with you there. Stanford to New York. So far we got Stanford, Notre Dame, and Middle Tennessee State. No, Mississippi State. That's correct. Sorry. Excuse me. Thank you. And then the final side of that bracket to determine the final team to go to New York City for the big Madison Square Garden Final Four of the NIT, we got St. Mary's against Southeastern Louisiana. 1-8 game at St. Mary's. Who wins that?
St. Mary's.
Okay. The next game you got at Boise State, the Washington Huskies. You're taking UW over Boise State.
No, it's actually at Heck Ed because the Boise State arena is being used for the NCAA tournament.
Unbelievable. What a break. How big of a break did Huskies catch there? So the Huskies get the home game. Huge break. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Huge break. This is a big break as signing Michael Porter and Jontay Porter. Okay, let me see. Washington and Boise State. Let's go with who's going to win that game, Washington or Boise State? Chandler Hutchison.
I hate to say it, Boise State's going to win.
You think Boise State's going to take it?
I do.
That's not a bad bet. They've been their second best team. Boise State is to the Mountain West what USC is to the Pac-12. They're the second best team in the conference.
They shoot a lot of threes. So if the three's not falling, UW's going to beat them. So
that's true.
They got to hit their
threes. And UW is good against teams that depend on hitting threes, so keep that in mind. They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not good against teams that have efficient, mature bigs and know how to pass the ball and can dissect a zone. So I don't know. That's going to be a pretty good matchup for the Huskies. I think it's going to be a close game, and Boise State's a good team, but then again, they're also very efficient too, and look what that type of a coach did in Mark Few to the Huskies. So Boise State is that kind of a disciplined team. You might find that they'll get a lot of good looks in the middle of the paint and the top of the and the foul line, little foul line jumpers and things like that, and they might just beat the crap out of UW, like Stanford or one of those teams did. So we'll see, or Utah. We'll see. It's going to be a good game. Okay, then we go to LSU and Louisiana. Louisiana and LSU. Cool. That's a good idea because I didn't even heard of Louisiana. And then Utah and Cal Davis. I think Utah is going to win that game. It's a home game, too. So I think Utah is primed to make a run in this tournament. So then let's just say – let's flip a coin on this. I'm picking on the Huskies game since it's at home. Let's just say the Huskies win that game. Who's going to win between the Huskies and St. Mary's?
I think the Huskies.
It's going to be at St. Mary's. You think the Huskies are going to go down to St. Mary's and beat them in that little gym?
I think so, yeah.
So Huskies get a win in at St. Mary's. And then down here, you got Louisiana State, LSU, 17-14 team against a 19-11 Utah team. I'm going Utah. What do you think about that?
Utah.
Perfect. So we got Utah, and you're kicking UW beating St. Mary's. Who wins between Utah and Washington to go to New York?
What's Utah seed?
2. They're going to be the home team.
Utah.
Yeah, I agree. There you go. I think that's it. But I don't think UW's going to – I doubt they're going to beat St. Mary's. But let's hope they do. I'm an optimistic when it comes to the Huskies. So we'll move to the final bracket to discuss. And this is really a good bracket. Unless you want to – we won't talk about Final Fours. We'll do that next week. But this is an interesting bracket, my friend. The CBI. It's got a lot of local teams in it. First of all, you got Eastern Washington and Utah Valley, Eastern Washington of the Big Sky, first-year coach Shante Leggins, all-time leading scorer in the Big Sky, Brogdon Bliznick, and then the Utah Valley Wolves that, Seattle, you had a hard time with in the WAC. Who wins that game? That's going to be tough. This is where you really show if you got it or not in this game.
You can pick these games.
You're going with East? Me too. I think Eastern's going to give it a good game. How about Colgate and those San Francisco Dons?
I'm going with those, San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm going with San Francisco too. They look good towards the end of the year. This is a tough one. Not South Dakota State of T.J. Altzelberger, but South Dakota against North Texas. The North Texas whoever they are, so I forgot, Buffaloes or something. Who is it that wins between South Dakota and North Texas?
I'm going with South Dakota. I saw them play earlier this year on ESPN 3. They look good.
Okay, let's go with South Dakota. How about Mercer and Grand Canyon? I think there's no question in my mind, Grand Canyon. What about Thunder Canyon, exactly. I'm going to Grand Canyon. Okay, then we got those two teams. Let's look at the winners now, just on that side of the bracket. You picked Eastern and you picked San Francisco. Who wins between Eastern and San Francisco? That's a good question.
I like Eastern.
Me too. How about between South Dakota and Grand Canyon?
South Dakota, I'm going with Grand Canyon, your boy.
Thunder Dan Marley, exactly. So far we got Eastern and Grand Canyon of the Big Sky and the WAC Conference, respectively. Now we go to the other bracket, and Miami of Ohio, Wally Zerbiak's team against Campbell. Who wins that game? This is where you get paid. People that get paid the big bucks to handicap these games. But yeah, what do you get on that Miami Ohio Campbell matchup in the CBI?
Nope. I'm going to go with Miami.
Good. Okay, cool. That's probably good. They had a pretty decent season. How about Utah, Rio Grande Valley? I mean, Texas, Rio Grande Valley of the WAC against New Orleans Buccaneers. Who wins that game?
I'm going with Grand Valley.
The Vipers. Got it. The Viper is actually an old jazz term from the 30s, sort of somebody who smokes pot. But okay, so then Central Arkansas and the Seattle University Redhawks. Central Arkansas. What do you think? Me too. I think Seattle used the story this year. I really do. Jacksonville State and Kansas. And the next, and that's the other game in Seattle U's bracket. What do you think about that?
I'm going with Canisius.
Canisius, got it. Sorry about that, Canisius. Sorry. So let's look at that bracket. Let's first look at Miami, Ohio against Utah, Rio Grande Valley of the WAC. Who wins that? Who wins that matchup?
I like Rio.
Really, boy, that's tough. They're good, but. I don't know. Miami, Ohio? I don't know. I'm thinking Miami, Ohio on that one. But let's see.
Yeah.
Seattle versus Canisius. Yeah, it's a tough one. Seattle versus Canisius.
I'm going with Seattle U.
I hope so. I'm really up for that. So let's say Seattle U, Rio Grande Valley, a team that they beat. Actually, a team that they struggled with this year a little bit. But a team that they finished ahead of in the WAC Conference. Against Eastern Washington and Grand Canyon, another WAC team in the CBI Final Four. So that's what we got. We're going to deal with the finals a little bit later. But what about since we kind of just sort of touching on important news of the day? What about this rumor about Lorenzo Romar and Kenny Bone going to Pepperdine? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, that's sure something interesting, man. I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's a lot to talk about.
Good for Romar. I mean, it's kind of a weird move in terms of, you know, you think he's probably financially not going to be getting huge money, but you made a good point. He's made enough money, and he's been conservative.
He's
probably. Yeah, he's probably sitting on, you know, I don't know, $10 million in the bank. I mean. What more does he need?
Well, he's probably got a lot of money, but I don't know how much money he has, but I would think he's got more than that. Because keep in mind, he's been head coach in college basketball for 20 years. Is he the kind of guy that goes out and, you know, like Donald Trump and has affairs with porno stars and have to pay him off for 130 Gs, or he's got a bunch of bratty kids that are getting in trouble with the law and having to pay people off to take care of them, or reckons fancy $250,000 sports cars.
Though, I mean, you got to think about it. You know, he was making, after taxes and all that, his life expenses. I don't think he could shell away $1 million a year in savings, but that's just a lot.
Well,
he
might not shove away $1 million a year in, but then again, with investments and stuff, and you know, figure what I'm thinking, maybe not exclusive to home furnishings and automobile, but you could probably save some money. And we're not talking just at UW for 15 years. We're talking about St. Louis. We're talking about Pepperdine. We're talking about UCLA. All the years he's been coaching.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And he may have made a little bit of money in the NBA. You know, who knows what he's got, but. I think if you were going to pick an over-under on his net worth, I think $10 million would be a really tempting one that I'd bet the over. But if you're talking about exclusive of home furnishings and automobile, I think you might be right. But I think he's got some real estate.
Well,
maybe I don't think he likes expensive things, really.
Well, when you consider someone's net worth, you always include the home because,
right?
I mean that's usually people's biggest asset.
Well, not in investment, advice. It's exclusive of home furnishings and automobiles, what their net worth is to as an investor. But as an individual, then you have to look at the equity they own in their home and all that. But yeah,
right.
aside from all that, Lorenzo Romar and Kenny Bone at keep in mind, Kenny Bone recruited Clay Thompson. Keep in mind that Lorenzo Romar is probably the best recruiter in the United States because he's been able to get so much talent to Washington, and he's got a lot of contacts, and he wasn't paying. So, honestly, I think that the potential for them to get some talent together down there is good. I think they got some good contacts. I think Lorenzo's got some really good support in the Seattle area, California, all over the place.
Well,
and I think Ken is a good, solid partner in this because he's a great X's and O's guy, and he also has quite a few. He's got a pretty good idea of talent himself. You know, so
that's the whole thing. I think Kenny's an elite coach in terms
Kenny's
of
an elite
you know,
coach. There's no question.
Offensive mind, he's one of the best,
yep.
I think, in the West Coast.
Everybody thinks so. I don't know why he hasn't been able to get a head job. It doesn't make sense. But aside from all that, the Wazoo experience is what killed him. And what killed him more than anything was losing that point guard, Reggie Moore, for 2 years. We thought he had him for a couple of years and not being able to recover from that. But other than that, he had enough talent there to do an awful lot. And he did a lot while Clay Thompson was there. But after that, it kind of fell apart. But if he had Reggie Moore there, the guys he could have added, they could have done a lot better. And he could have done a lot better, and then he wouldn't have lost that job. But he lost that job. Same with Lorenzo. He lost his gig. And that's another whole story of just ridiculousness. So those two guys together, I'm thinking it's going to be a good thing for both of them. They'll probably put together some talent. And, you know, what do you think about the WCC dropping Gonzaga and BYU and adding a couple of teams like maybe Seattle U?
Well, you know,
do you think that makes sense?
It does. To me, it does.
Yeah, for Lorenzo, it certainly would.
And I certainly think Lorenzo has the ability, Pepperdine, to make a run there because he's in an area that he's always recruited well, got a lot of connections down there, and then on top of that, he's got connections in Seattle where he doesn't need to get five-star guys. He doesn't need to get four-star guys. If he gets high-level three-stars like Trey Anderson, you know,
Eddie Turner
and Augusto, you know, guys like that, they're going to go down there and they're going to make a run, and they just need to stay within the top three in the WCC, and then in the tournament, you're never going to know what happens. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You just need to be, you know, solid, like kind of where St. Mary's is, a bubble team every year. And if you do that, if you get to that level, I think probably someone's going to come calling for a bigger job, but I don't know if he's going to want it. I mean, he's back down where he's from originally. I mean, you know, you're in a conference that if Gonzaga gets out of the conference, he could really dominate.
Yeah, that's true. Gonzaga's going to always be a pain in the you know what, but I think really, realistically, you know, I think Gonzaga would be foolish not to get out of the WCC. I think it's going nowhere. I think it really is going nowhere. I mean, just having this every year phenomenon of being like ranked in the top 10 just because you win every single game in your conference when there's nobody, you're not playing anybody. It's just, and then you go into the tournament and some years you're bad and you end up losing in the first round and everyone goes, oh my God, Gonzaga lost. Well, it's because they weren't good. It should never have been a two seed or a three seed, and they should never have been ranked in the top 10. I think this is the case this year, truthfully. Last year there was a different story, but they're going to continue doing that for a long time as they stay in the WCC. But I think that they want to actually improve the program and really bring the program up to where they really need to be, to where they can, you know, not just be a paper tiger every other year, but actually be a stronger, much stronger program nationally and have really a lot better team in March. I think they'd be better off in a better conference. And I think the Mountain West is going to be a good conference for them. A lot of good teams, much more than the WCC, especially if they bring in BYU too. Then you got Nevada, you got San Diego State, Boise State. It just makes more sense. And then I think with the WCC, it gives everybody in that conference a breath of fresh air that, hey, we can maybe win something here, you know. So finally, you know. So I think it'd be good for everybody. I think it'd be good for everybody. And then, you know, and then the WAC.
You guys, I mean, you saw how Kenny did it when he was at Portland State. I mean, you know, he knows how to win.
Mm-hmm. He does. He certainly does. And yeah, I think that I think honestly, I think those two together be a good program in the WCC, and I think that's good for Lorenzo. And I think that as far as Arizona goes, I think there was some interest. I think probably in seeing if Lorenzo could maybe, you know, could possibly coach Arizona. But I think that they really sold their soul to Sean Miller. And
yeah.
And I think they're going to stick with him to the bitter end. I mean, when the FBI comes calling and put on the handcuffs, they're going to be trying to figure out whether or not he's going to be able to coach the next game. I mean, they're really just sold to the very end that until either the NCAA or the government.
What's up with that, by the way? Is it just all just about the money down there? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing.
I think if
Arizona wins the NCAA championship, you know how much money that school's going to make?
They're going to make a ton of money. They're going to sell a lot of T-shirts. They're going to sell a lot of donors. Are going to be costing a lot of money. And honestly, I just think that they're just trying to ride this thing as long as they can and get away with as much bank and as capital as they possibly can. And I think that's what it is. And they're just hanging in there by a thread, but they're sticking with their guy, Shawnee Miller. And I think Lorenzo was hoping that something different would happen. I think that he sort of saw the writing on the wall when they decided to stand by Miller in the midst of that. And I just don't think he wants to be part of that. He's a sharp guy. I think he wanted to maybe get out. And this is kind of a nice little humble way of him getting out, you know, because the other options that are out there as far as head coaching, I don't know if they're quite as pleasant as Pepperdine. You know, there's a couple of tough jobs out there. I wonder who's going to get that UConn job.
Yeah, that's
speaking of the con job of college basketball, who gets that?
You know they're
going to
go after Mike Hopkins.
They probably will talk to Mike Hopkins. I think they'll talk to Mike Hopkins. Who else is going to get a little courtesy call? Do you think out there? I know they want to maybe clean it up now.
I don't think Hop would take that job though. UConn to me screwed up by going to that conference.
Yeah.
They're in kind of I don't know. I don't like the conference they're in.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird job. It's kind of a weird job right now. It's a job that they went to that conference and took a chance that they'd be a big fish in that conference. Well, you know, if they took a big chance that they'd be a big fish in that conference. And, you know, honestly, let's take a close look at that. I think we can do that right now while we're enjoying this beautiful Sunday evening. Well, for one thing, Cincinnati is a good team that's in that conference. Eastern Carolina Pirates are in that conference. Houston Cougars are in that conference. Memphis Tigers, SMU, those SMU cheating Mustangs, those University of Southern Florida pay to players, this Temple Owls. Tulane, Green Wave, those Tulsa Hurricanes. And then those University of USF's Bulls, the University of Southern Florida Bulls, and then Wichita State. So it's really a conference made for basketball powers. Now, if UConn isn't a basketball power, then, you know, you're right. It maybe becomes a tough, much tougher job. You got a lot of real good competition there. And if you're kind of, you know, not in a great, you know, it's not like a real prestigious conference like the Big East, but I don't know. I think it's a good job, UConn. They got a big building. And who do you think would be a good coach for UConn? Sean Miller? No, Sean Miller's going to be going to jail. Excuse me. How about Archie Miller?
Are there any alumni?
Well, they tried Kevin Ollie. Let me see about alumni.
I don't know why Lorenzo wouldn't get a look.
I don't know how Lorenzo would look in UConn. I know that Chillis is already out there. that's one possibility. I don't think that they would hire Lorenzo. They got a lot of you know, they a lot of people that probably expect, I mean, who knows what they could do out there in UConn? Maybe they hire, you know, whoever the hot, you know, mid-major, you know, flavor of the month is this month in NCAA basketball, you know, the new hot number, you know. We'll see what they do there. It's going to be interesting. And, you know, I guess the last story that I was kind of curious what I kind of wanted to pick your brain about is this Montana Grizzlies and Ahmad Rory. Which would work better, do you think? David Crisp transferring to Montana next year as a grad transfer. Could he grad transfer? He's only played 3 years of college basketball. He probably doesn't ready to graduate from UW, but maybe he could possibly. Could he grad transfer to Montana to play with Ahmad Rory next year in that loaded Montana Grizzly team? Or do you think that maybe Ahmad Rory, who has played 4 full years of college basketball, including a transfer year when he transferred from Oregon, could he transfer and get in as a grad transfer in the new look Huskies? What do you think?
Well, I'd love to see Ahmad Rory at UW, but I just, this whole grad transfer thing at UW is just, you know, it's
could
really
that change hurt, though, under the Jen Cohen administration? Could Jen Cohen come in and put her foot down, stomp her feet?
I don't think there's anything Jen could do. You know,
I don't think so either.
It comes down to the Board of Regents.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
And I think
they
only care about football anyway. I think she only cares about football. I don't think she's going to go over basketball anyway. As much as she likes Mike Hopkins, I don't think she's going to do anything. So, no, I think neither is going to happen. I think that Ahmad Rory's going to have a heck of a year next year, though. That Montana Grizzlies is just, they're really doing it, man. They're really doing it. And UW is, they're going to be better. I mean, I wouldn't discount them having a better season than they had this year. Problem is getting into that NCAA tournament. I don't think they're ready yet, even next year. What do you think?
You know, I think the UW, if they got a piece or two, it could be a really tough team next year.
That's the question. What do they need?
They need a point guard. I mean, David Crisp is awful. I mean, he's just not a point guard.
David Crisp is – everyone's been really sticking up for him this year, but he played 36 minutes a game. And he, you know, as David Crisp went, as Mike Hopkins said one time on the radio, on a night where David Crisp had a great night, he said, as David Crisp went, so did we. And the key thing is, you know, he doesn't have a great night every night. So, yeah, I think you live with
you know,
David Crisp.
Teron Brooks, Teron Brooks leaving, start wondering what Brandon Roy's relationship is with the UW.
You really do. And my feeling is
that
it's not good.
Talking about, they need to wake up and smell the freaking coffee. Because you got the best UW player of all time in your backyard as a head coach for one of the top programs in America, top five program, and he's got a ton of D1 high major talent that could play in the Pac-12, and he's not going to send one of those guys to UW.
Isn't that sad? Here we are in the class of 2018. Got Eric Stevenson dominating that state tournament games. I mean, just dominating it, the state tournament. Scoring more points than Michael Porter did last year when he set the state record for the state tournament.
He's a pro, man. Yeah.
He's gone, not going anywhere near UW. CJ Ellaby going to Wazoo. He's probably the third best player in the region. Kevin Porter, I personally think he's really good. I know you're not as big on him. I think Kevin Porter is an NBA guy, probably a two-and-done NBA guy like Terrence Ross. Kevin Porter gone to USC. And then Jaron Brooks now gone. And then and if that weren't enough, you know, Emmett Matthews decommitting from UConn and people thinking, well, maybe he'll go to UW. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a possibility. They thought that Jerron Brooks was going to, and then there was all this BS about, oh, I don't know if he really wants to go to UW. We need to make sure he swears up and down and says it 10 times over and over and writes on the board before we'll take him. And look where he goes. He goes back to USC. I mean, Emmett Matthews would be a good fit at UW. He's not really what they need so much like next year, but he certainly wouldn't hurt them. I think he's every bit as good as Jamal Bey, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely would help them. They think Jamal Bey is going to give him so much help. I think Emmett Matthews is every bit as good and taller. So at the same position. So, you know, honestly, I think realistically, UW's going to go 0-5 in this really good class in state. And in 10 years from now, we're going to look at this and go, how in the world did he miss in all five of those guys? But that's what happens when you get rid of Romar. I mean, every one of those guys, UW would have had a much better chance with Romar. There's no question in my mind. I've talked to a lot about them and their families. I know that for a fact. So, yeah, I actually met a number of them face-to-face and got to read their eyes when I was talking about it. So, you know, I honestly don't think – that this is a good situation for the UW right now. They got to figure out how to get their act together to get these local players when the talent's good around here. Because if you're not getting the talent when it's good in the Pacific Northwest and the Puget Sound area, you don't have much to really build your program on when you're a UW. Unfortunately, you got to have that cornerstone to build it on.
Yep, that's just absolutely a fact.
It's a fact.
That's fact.
It's a plain fact. Yeah, yep. It's a fact. So, well, we're on a sobering note. I think it's kind of cool. Seattle U's got a shot to maybe do something in that CBI. The CBI is going to be fun to watch because there's a lot of local interest in it. And the NIT is too. A lot of Pac-12 teams. Huskies are in it. Boise State's in it. That first game, Boise State and Huskies at UW, that's going to be a big game. And a really hotly contested one, I hope. So, lots to talk about. We got to save something for next week. And anything else you want to go over?
Isaiah had a big night, by the way. Isaiah Thomas had a big night tonight, I got to say. And the team that's making a run at Isaiah Thomas, people are saying, in the offseason, who you look at them right now, they're 40-28, one of the best teams in the East. They got a nice GM who knows what he's doing, and, you know, president, I mean, and Larry Bird. Is the Indiana Pacers. They got a point guard spot right now. Corey Joseph is their starting point guard, but he only averages like 7 points a game. Mm-hmm. And you got a team that could be really good next year if they you added Isaiah to that team. So I don't think he's going to get this max money he wants, but I think the way he's playing right now, he had a big game tonight against the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on national television, he led the way with 20 points and 9 assists.
Mm-hmm.
I think Isaiah Thomas could end up making some good money and signing a deal with the Pacers.
That would be something else to see him get a nice payday after all the BS he's taken here. You know, I just thought about something else to do with the Huskies. You know, you're right. If they got a point, that would be definitely a something in the right direction. The other problem, though, is they only have two big men either, too. That's another thing. But even if they just
have any rim protectors. That's another thing. You made a great point about that the other day. They do not have guys that can protect the rim.
They don't. They don't right now. And so, you know, they just don't. So, I mean, Matisse Thybulle, I guess, you know, Jalen Noel. I mean, when your top rim protectors are guys like that, you know, it's there's a hole in your system if you want to be a big time team. And I mean, this zone has done wonders for them, but I think that they have to come up with some better answers, because it's one thing when you lose to the zone like USC did this last year and other teams have done, Arizona. But if to expect, you know, these kind of programs to lose the same way to the same zone approach 2 years in a row is a lot to ask. You know, I think they're going to have to really do some serious upgrading. And the one thing is that David Crisp shouldn't be playing 35, 36 minutes a game at point guard. They need to come up with somebody else, and David needs to be playing some backup minutes to Jalen Noel, give him Noel a little bit of a blow, kind of have him playing that two where he can be effective, maybe, hopefully, you know, maybe he can be effective and throw a little change up in there with his left hand and whatnot. But and then and a point guard that's going to be your more or less your starting minutes kind of point guard, even if David's your starter, just a guy that's going to play a lot of minutes at point guard that can really take care of the ball and can really, you know, not spend too much time doing things that are kind of productive, you know, and that's kind of what David's done. And for
yes,
he gave
no
a lot,
he
gave his hardest self. He gave his heart and soul this year, and he had some great moments, and he really tried, and I think he improved. So let's see him improve a lot more and improve his shooting a lot more and then really be effective as a senior, but have somebody else so that he doesn't have to play 36 minutes at point guard, and somebody else can help with that and help other guys get in. No, Isaiah Thomas, I think we can call it a night. I mean, I can't think of anything else to talk about.
Well, people are talking, I just want to quickly point, everyone's ripping Isaiah. But what about Zach LaVine? He's really struggling this year. The bottom line is when you're coming off an injury like that, it just takes time, man. I mean, give these guys a break. I mean, let them get in a rhythm. Let them.
What would Jimmy Marsh say?
You're talking about UCLA. Okay, we're talking about this. All right, hey.
There he is, Jimmy. Oh my God, you gotta love him. His heart is definitely in the right place. He's the basketball guy, man. So,
do you tell him? Is Jimmy talking about me?
Oh God. Oh boy. Well, no, Zach LaVine. I mean, you know, He's Mark McLaughlin's cousin, first
what
cousin, I think.
What would Steve Gordon say about Zach LaVine?
Yeah. Well, you see, we could really play. Steve Gordon, will play. He could play.
The guy can really play. I mean, he can really shoot it. I mean, okay. I mean, the guy can really play.
What about, okay, Let's do one more good impression. What about what's Dickie P saying right
what,
now
what
about?
What about that Kim Reynolds?
Wow, Kim Reynolds
here. Okay, Kim Reynolds here with Dogman.com, and today we want to talk to you about my butt crack, and I just pulled my pants up, and let me just hang on a second. Let me my high heels fell off here, and
yeah. Well, you're just on fire tonight. Well, the one and only Tyrone comes through, and if you think that the CBS Selection Sunday commentary show is more entertaining than Talking Hoops, you need to have your head examined. All right, you guys, we'll see you soon. All right, for Talking Hoops, for Tyrone, the one and only, this is Jim Bassnight. We'll see you next week when the chips are on the line.
Keep right here, hey.